Our Lord in His goodness is always trying to encourage us on the path of salvation, and we see that in the glorious event of today, in which He showed His apostles His own glory to give them an idea of what they had to look forward to if they would persevere in His service. And He also did this so they wouldn't lose their faith when they saw Him put to death on the cross. So they would always know that no matter what happened later, that Christ had done something in front of them that only God could do, and that therefore He was God. We see today also the idea that our sufferings in this life are always mixed with a certain amount of consolation and joy at the same time that God gives us for our encouragement, and so that we will persevere. These three apostles that saw the transfiguration would be the same ones that were asked to accompany our Lord in His agony in the garden. They saw Him humiliated and suffering in a way that the other apostles didn't see, so they had to be confirmed in their faith more than the other apostles by this vision. This event took place in Galilee about a year before the death of Christ, and He showed only three apostles His divinity. He chose three so that that would be enough to prove to the others that it was real. But He didn't take more than three because He wanted to teach us that we should not publicize the favors that God has given us, the graces that we receive, and our virtues, and so on, are something that we should keep as a secret between ourselves and God. Now, our Lord was transfigured while He was praying, because we can only receive the consolations of God when we are at prayer. Unfortunately, when people neglect their prayers, they make the practice of the Christian life a lot more difficult for themselves than it has to be, because as a result of that, they don't enjoy the consolations of God. They cut themselves off from those things because they are never disposed to receive them. But we all have to carry our cross. We all have to keep the commandments, whether it's hard or easy. And in fact, for this reason, in a way, it's harder to be a lax Christian than a devout one, because both a lax Catholic and a fervent Catholic have to carry the same burden of self-denial and renunciation of their unruly desires, which is difficult. But only the fervent Catholic is consoled by God in his spiritual labors. The lax Catholic is effectively left to carry the burden of human nature alone, which is by his own choice. And obviously he is not usually very successful at doing so, and instead he racks up an enormous amount of punishment by his sins when he fails to live up to our holy faith. It's amazing how much we are inclined to be lax, but at the same time, how little an attachment to this world it takes to make us worldly Catholics. But at the same time, if we are striving to perfect ourselves, God will console us with heavenly joy to keep us going, at least now and then. So as our Lord is praying, He takes away the veil that He always has in front of His divinity and allows just a tiny amount of His glory to come out from His sacred body. Since He is God, in a sense, the natural state of His human nature, which is united to His divinity, is one of unimaginable glory. He actually suspended this glory from shining out during His time on earth so that He would appear as just a regular human being externally. This is the only time we know of when He suspended this effect. But by doing this, He not only inspired the hope of the apostles, but He inspires us too with hope and longing for the glory of heaven. We have to remember that if we save our souls, then our bodies will one day rise from the dead in glory like His. This is something that would encourage us if we thought about it more. Our body now seems like a pretty faulty sort of machine a lot of the time. It's always falling apart and hurting and stiff and tired, or has just about any possible discomfort or weakness for a lot of people a lot of the time. And yet, if we save our souls, one day it will shine like the sun, and we will have a fullness of strength and vigor that we can't even imagine now. The gospel tells us that Moses and Elias appeared and spoke with Christ in his glory. Moses represents the law and the ancient patriarchs, and Elias represents the later prophets. So they represent, in a way, all the just of the Old Testament between the two of them. And they get to be there to behold this glory of our Lord, this amazing vision. Both of them had suffered for God. Moses sacrificed his whole life to bring his people out of Egypt. Instead of living in the comfort and splendor of Pharaoh's court, he spent most of his life living in a tent in the desert. And Elias was constantly being pursued by the wicked, trying to kill him. So they appeared there with Christ and they spoke to him about his sufferings that he would endure for our sins. Our Lord was so eager to suffer for us that he spoke about this subject frequently. And St. Peter can only say, "It is good for us to be here." He wanted to stay there and see this vision forever. But he was so out of his mind with joy and amazement that what he said made very little sense. Why would these heavenly beings need a tent to live in? And why would he want to stay on earth forever when you think about it? Here he is seeing just a tiny ray of heavenly glory, and he wants to stay on earth forever to look at that tiny ray. We have to imagine what heaven must be like if one tiny ray of heavenly glory could make St. Peter think that he would want to stay here on earth forever and skip the rest of the joys of heaven just to keep looking at that one tiny amount of glory. But in the same way, people who are consoled with heavenly consolations lose their interest in the things of this world too. People who love this world don't know the joy that God will give them if they try to love God instead. And so they try to find their happiness in this world. And they even want to stay in this world forever. They love this world so much. But St. Bernard says, how can it be good for us to be here, where everything in this world is boring and empty and even dangerous? He says, everyone in the world is full of malice and foolishness. We are in constant danger of losing our souls here. We are surrounded by spiritual darkness. There is nothing for our souls here on earth except affliction and difficulty. And finally, God the Father spoke from heaven, and he told the apostles to listen to Christ. And they are overwhelmed with terror, as we can just imagine. We should think today about the true nature of happiness. Think about what these apostles saw, how this one tiny glimpse of heaven overpowered them, and they realized immediately that they didn't care about anything else in the world as soon as they saw just a tiny fraction of heaven, heavenly glory. They wanted to leave everything else in the world behind forever. Well, why don't we do the same thing? Leave behind, first of all, anything that would interfere in our pursuit of heaven. Leave behind anything sinful. And secondly, we have to have a contempt for all of the things of this world, because this world is not heaven, and it is not good for us to be here. But we are here in this world as a place of trial, and that is how we should live. Live every day as a way of earning a place in heaven where it will be good for us to be. We have to do that by keeping the commandments, praying and loving God every single day. And then we will finally save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.